All right, boys and girls, we're going to get started here in a couple moments when people file on in. The fleets are just getting back. Good shit.
Normally, microflood fleets are a lot shorter because you die.
Womp womp. All right, so as usual, we do these things in Elysium at conference.tycoonfleet.com. You guys usually know the drill by now, at, just in case. We also have some bingo options. We're going to get things started here in a couple moments once the numbers stabilize. Actually, I have a lot of good news today we're going to go over. Also, some stuff about finance where my little mitten brain will turn into goo. But I have Kazanir here to be an adult and explain all the shit. I don't even know what an autogram is, Renea. All right, 950 in channel. I'll take it. We're going to go ahead and get started. Because I also have to get all ready for the meta show. We're starting a little late today because you guys are busy kicking ass. So yeah, actually, a bunch of shit to go over here. So let's go ahead and start from the top, which will be a general war overview. Things are going pretty well. This war is ours to lose. If you haven't read the war update for some reason that's sticking to the top of the war room, you should read the war update because it kind of covers the main points in terms of war progress. That was also written before we pulled off the Kobe dunk, which was a fantastic bit of work that Jay Amazingness, Kunmi, and a bunch of people worked together on and pulled off. You know it's a good one when you see the enemy trying to spin as if it would be a bad thing that it was that Penif, Penif did it, is something that Elise has been saying. And Izrad was very heavily involved in that, and I have no problem with that at all. I think it's great. But you know it's cool when you get a huge dunk where immediately the first reaction from the enemy is trying to deny credit to Jay and the team. Also, Izrad was part of the team. I don't see why it would be a bad thing that Penif was involved in the dunk. Whatever, we killed a fucking Revenant and a Titan. Eat my ass, bitch. All right, whatever. So that's cool. A couple of things that have come out since the war update. One is in the war update I posted that at the time that I wrote it, I thought that T5ZI was a keepstart too far, that it was a strategic overreach on the part of the enemy. And since then, of course, the Kobe dunk worked. And on top of that, beyond the specific instance of ganking a Titan and a Revenant on their keepstar, we have been relentlessly harassing these nerds. One of the things that was that's different about T5ZI is when they were in YZ9, it was sort of optional on the part of their members whether they dealt with us, right? Like they could choose to go on a fleet and then, you know, interact with goons or not interact with us and the Imperium as a whole, sort of at their discretion. But by moving to T5ZI, they are right next door to us, and nothing radicalizes our people like close contact with really annoying puppies. And so we have been hazing the shit out of them. Our guys have been fired up, and it's been working out really well. So they have definitely, and again, you know, who knows, maybe tomorrow they're going to siege 1DQ1. But it's safe to say that T5ZI was an overreach, it was a mistake, and that they have begun to lose momentum. That is something that is not just me saying, hey guys, the bad guys are losing momentum. As you guys can see for yourselves, looking at the Doom Clock, and please do relink the Doom Clock here, this is amazing. There have been upgrades added to the Doom Clock, and one of the things I want people to know is that we have potentially some pretty big ops on Sunday night, U.S. time zone. So at around 2:30 Eve on Monday Eve time, so Sunday night in U.S., we're going to have some ops that we're going to go out and do some things. Both Null and Hicks, their iHubs are going to be out within 30 minutes of each other, and we're going to make a play. Maybe we reset Null, maybe we reset Hicks, maybe we reset both, maybe we reset none of them, who knows. We have been very successful over time in snapping these links, and so we're going to have an opportunity there. There will be ops posted, and yeah, I mean, keep on kicking ass, guys. One of the things I really love about the Doom Clock is that you guys can track for yourselves how we're doing, and you can see that these things are trading hands, and that we're doing a pretty good job of keeping the faith and keeping things defended. Yeah. Let me check my notes here. I guess we ruined the clock by everybody going rushing. Oh my. Regardless, trust me, it's beautiful. It's been a good week. So one of the other things I want to talk about is ISK, which is not something that I normally talk about, but the bad guys have been making some commentary about ISK as it relates to them, as it relates to us, and I want everybody to be on the same page. So first things first, we do have plans for dealing with the fact that we have a bunch of Keepstars that need to be cored. One of the things I've been seeing from the bad guys recently is that they are grasping at straws and saying that we are not going to be able to afford 1.5 trillion ISK to core our Keepstars by January 12th. This is Goonswarm. We wasted a ton of ISK on an almost daily basis. So instead of just telling everybody that it's going to be okay, we actually have a bunch of news in terms of finance land. We have expanded our finance team. We've got a bunch of new directors there that are working on that. But one of the reasons I want to address the cores for Keepstars thing specifically is that the enemy is bringing it up. And I want you guys to know that we have plans and wheels within wheels to be able to handle it. And also I want the enemy to hear it when they get a recording of the fireside. So here's what's going to happen. We are doing a new thing with finance that Kazanier is about to talk about. And if we have shortfalls, if we are like actually hurt for ISK when it gets to close to January 12th, we will simply issue war bonds, which is something that I've never had to do within my administration. It's been more than a decade since Goonswarm has had to issue war bonds. But in the early days when we didn't know what we were doing about finance and didn't have as refined of a system, we did occasionally do war bonds. That is something only as a last resort. War bonds are something that I consider to be the financial equivalent of the Horn of Gundor. And I believe that we will get all the way or most of the way of what we need ISK-wise by January 12th. But for the enemy that is expecting that we will not have ISK for Keepstars and that magically speaking, we're not going to be able to core things or whatever. No, like if it gets to the point where we're in trouble financially, we will, in case of emergency, break glass, issue war bonds, core all the Keepstars, and invite our enemy yet again to eat our ass and attack the damn things. So I want people to know that. And then before I tag in Kazanier, there is something I want to talk about messaging when it comes to poverty. Obviously, we are in a situation where we want our enemies that are interested in leaving the war to leave the war, right? We want to kill legacy. This is all stuff I talked about on the war update. It's nothing new. If you're confused about what I'm talking about, please read the fucking war update. But we want to make it as easy as possible for the bad guys that want to fuck off, to let them fuck off, peace with honor style, GFs all around, such that we can murder test, right? That is the first priority, is getting enough of the bad guys to leave in whatever way is possible to do that, such that we can focus on what we really want to do, which is slitting test's throat for bringing all the shit pile of puppies on top of us in the first place. So that is important. In terms of when you see an entity like Brave. So you guys may or may not have seen this, but Brave posted a big thing about how they're out of ISK and they're asking for donations and stuff like that. I think that is probably optimal for us in terms of when we are trolling the bad guys, to not call them poor, to not call them cowards, to actually be like, oh yeah, you know, it is really tough. We've been fighting this war for a really long time, and it's gonna be really frustrating to have to, you know, pay for all these cores. And gosh, you know, Brave, was sort of roped into this whole thing by Test, and it's just a shame. Basically blame Test for everything and otherwise be amenable and accommodating and GFs all around to everybody else. There is legitimate ill will and resentment between PanFam, who has been doing all of the fucking work at Test, who have been a bunch of lazy fucking freeloading backstabbers, which is who Test are inherently. And I just really want to have the heat on Test, and then otherwise all smiles all the way around, being reasonable. There's no reason for us to, you know, we shouldn't be calling anybody cowards. We shouldn't be saying, oh my God, you're too poor, so you have to leave, so you suck, because we want them to leave so we can kill Test. I want people to be on board with that and understand the messaging, which is why I talked about some of this in the war update. But when I wrote the war update, I was talking more about the military stuff. We hadn't seen indications like the Brave announcement of, hey guys, we're poor, we need money. And so I just want to make sure that you know, gosh, it's tough that CCP is ruining the economy, so Brave has to leave the war, and they've been fighting hard, and da-da-da-da-da, whatever you gotta do. We want to make it easy for these guys to fuck off so we can kill test. And yeah, you can absolutely troll the fuck out of the legacy guys about the fact that test isn't sharing the TTT money in the way that we share the TTT money, and just blame test for fucking everything. That's what I'm saying here. Okay, now speaking of poverty and avoiding poverty, beyond just me mentioning war bonds, Kazanier here has a whole thing about some of the finance stuff that we're going to be doing, and I'm going to put a spotlight on him to explain.
Oh dear. Hi, everybody. Yeah, so we just wanted to follow up and talk about some cool stuff that was happening. When we fired off the Horn of Gundor a few weeks back, we had several people who were really shockingly wealthy, but didn't have time to play. One of them is like retired on an island after making it rich on Bitcoin. There were a couple others. The new finance team has taken a lot of these assets. Some of the stuff has powered reimbursements, but we have taken a lot of this stuff and we're trying to create an investment fund out of it that will operate long term. We've used this to do a couple of the Supercamp reimbursements. We cleared the last few today from the YZ9 fight. But a lot of these assets are things that we're not going to be able to sell even within a couple months of fire sailing. And so we're trying to turn it into an investment fund that will keep throwing off ISK, even if, you know, we end up being more broke because CCP does crazy stuff. Or even if we have some sort of larger whelp in the future, that we have all of this stuff lying around and we can maintain this fund and also make sure that these guys, if goons who have donated stuff, whether that's a Titan and a few pilots or whether that's a ton of assets, that if they want to come back in a year or in 2 years or in 5 years, that we're going to have something for that person to play with in support of them because they were supporting us at this critical time. So we just wanted to announce that that's a thing. Like Mittens was talking about, we're saving our gunpowder on the sort of war bonds thing. If we need that to respond to a CCP event, we would structure that a little more formally. But this has been a godsend. So what we're going to do, I screwed this up. I don't have my DJs all ready, but we're going to be renaming several of the structures in 1DQ after those donors. The first is the last Keepstar after the Ministry of Love, who donated a substantial portion of their immense cache of stuff. And then several other Fortizars after Lux Libertas and Adanthar and Picano, who in addition to Mina have supplied just a ton of resources that we've been working through. So we hope that this will power a lot more reimbursement for the future. We just wanted to give a shout out to everyone. Some other stuff we're dealing with, we're still working on finalizing numbers around the Dread reimbursement stuff. I know that was noted, I think, last week or the week before. We're going to be reaching out to Member Corp people further. And then as a final thing, so we announced this week we promoted several new finance directors who will be taking the reins of this program and also just generally making us richer. One of the big things they want to focus on is making Helm's Deep as effective and operational as we can. You know, we don't know what the war is going to bring. We could be here for another 4 weeks, another 8 weeks, another 12 weeks holding out before some of these people leave and make things a little more tenable. We want to make that pocket, those four constellations, as operational as we can. So we have some jump bridge changes coming up that will hopefully make things a little easier. But if you have feedback, if your corp has feedback, please feel free to reach out to those guys. Rat Knight, Nodrakish, Angry Mustache are all available. They should be in Elysium. Please feel free to reach out if you've got feedback, comments, questions, anything. I think that pretty much covers all the topics. So you'll see a broadcast later with those structure renames. We're hoping to up the ante a little bit and invite people to come fight.
Excellent, thank you. Yeah, so again, like optimizing Helm's Deep, that is in progress. We do have some doctrine changes on the way. I'm not going to announce them until they are ready to announce, but look for a new doctrine in the next probably 3 or 4 days, depending upon how rapidly the guys dot the I's, cross the T's, and do the usual. So in general, things are going pretty well. Like I said at the start of the fireside, this war is ours to lose. Previously speaking, things were looking super dark. Things are no longer looking, still, you know, it's not an ideal situation. The enemy is staged right next to us and is promising to burn 1DQ1 down, right? Like, that ain't great. But I'm feeling pretty good about things. And, you know, financially speaking, like, we're Gucci. Again, like, war bonds are always our emergency option. I don't think it's going to come to that. You know, if we end up in a scenario where kind of like modern nation states or large entities and institutions end up like, you know, when I was in college every other building was named after Mike fucking Bloomberg, who went to the same school I did back before he was, you know, Mike Bloomberg. And so, you know, if we end up with the First Bank of Pocono and, you know, the Pocono Gallery, kind of like the Sackler Gallery, minus all the heroin at the Met, that seems to be the direction we're headed in. And in case of emergency, we do have war bonds as an option. So I want everybody to know that we're planning for the future, that we have plans for the core thing, because I've watched Villy's dumb ass run around trying to grasp at straws and be like, well, goons won't be able to afford 1.5 trillion ISK to pour their keep stars, as if we didn't get more than that in each individual donation from Pocono, from the donation from Mina. And let's not even talk about the lines we're snorting out of the fucking Mini Love cash. So, yeah,
it's so good. Let me answer this Elysium question real quick.
Go for
it. A war bond is where we would officially say, hey, we're going to borrow money from line members. And then we take that and we would pay you guys out, whoever donated at a certain interest percentage, just like you're doing
an actual loan, like a treasury bond.
Right, exactly. So that's how we're structuring the investment fund that I was mentioning earlier. We're trying to keep track of stuff that way, but it's not a real war bond. People didn't come donate with the hope of interest. Like I said, we're keeping our powder dry on that. That would be something we use to deal with cores if we need to, right? But that's how something like that would work. But it turns out for now, we don't even need to, because, and this is something I wanted to say again about the Villy thing. Like in other alliances that go through these sort of wars, they end up fail cascading because all of their leadership and their rich people, they do evac early and they do fuck off early and they want to get their shit safe because they care more about themselves. And we haven't seen that here, and we're still here 5 or 6 months later, and we're richer because even the people who can't play say, hey, you know what, I care more about Goonswarm winning the war, I care more about the Empire's continued existence than this 100 billion ISK I'm not using. And that really has made just an enormous difference. And so I was shocked when I came back to play. I was like, holy crap, look at all this crap. You know, and I know some of these guys from years ago. So it was just really cool. It was a feel-good moment to look at all this stuff and say, people really do want us to live. That's all. Fuck
them. All right. Yeah, so, I mean, things are, as far as us versus the other guys in terms of finance stuff goes, like, it's... the reason why we're spelling all this out is because I want to get in front of the fact that the enemy is going to be trying to do this whole, oh, you know, goons are going to run out of money thing. While at the same time cautioning you that while it's perfectly okay to troll Villy and whatever, when you do see other alliances running out of ISK that are hostile to us, we want to be gracious about it, because if we're douchebags about it, they'll stick around longer. We want to say, hey, look, it's tough if you're out of cash because Test roped Brave, like, for example, the Brave thing. Like, this is easy, right? Like, Test dragged Brave into this war. Brave has obviously done a lot of work to blow our shit up, but if they're announcing that they're running out of cash because CCB has completely ruined the NullSec economy, we can either be douches about it, or we can say, yeah, that sucks that you got roped into a war run by a bunch of incompetents, like Villy and fucking Pro God Legend, who have then bankrupted your alliance and not even brought you victory, and here you are 6 months later, you're out of cash, the core stuff is approaching. Yeah, that sucks, and we understand if you have to leave because Test roped you into this, and it fucking sucks, and whatever. And, you know, some of them are going to be like, oh, we're here because we hate goons or whatever. The important thing is that in a situation where the enemy is signaling that some of them are running out of cash, it's best to be gracious and throw Test under a bus and blame them for everything, because that's how I feel about this entire thing, is blame Test for literally everything, because they started it. They planned to backstab us by kicking this war off long beforehand, long before telling us that the treaty was going to end. You guys know the story. I just want people to be on the same page about it. That is the direction of our hearth and our path to victory. All right, so what do we got? Should we offer amnesty? So there's questions about, generally speaking, letting people leave or whatever. Is that the other thing is that we don't want to be too try hard about it, right? Like, you know, I'm telling people to be gracious, because if you scream at people about how they're cowards because they want to leave the war, it's going to be harder for them to leave the war. But I don't think that we need to, like, you know, we don't need to suck any fucking dicks about this. Like, we don't need to, like, bend over backwards or whatever. Like, we are in a very good position. We keep resetting the doom clock successfully. The enemy knows it. We know it. This thing is taking way longer than they want. We have war bonds and a finance team. They do not. And so as much as they're pointing at us and going, ooh, goons are going to run out of this because of cores, I think a lot of that is projection on the part of Legacy, because they are not equipped to handle things as we are. Now, I don't mean to say that we're sitting on 1.5 trillion liquid disk. Like, we are in a situation here where we are regularly liquidating assets. Like I said, we're snorting lines out of the Mini-Lev cache. And we are also prioritizing SRP over everything, right? So, like, it's not like we're sitting on this huge pile of ISK or whatever. We just have ways of managing the flow of income and expense over time, and we are prioritizing SRP. And so that's why we have things like, hey, we'll pay these debts that we owe for this, that, and the other thing later. They're on a spreadsheet. We have a system where we're showing the transparency stuff, so you guys know we have a plan. But it's not like we're just, you know, sitting on 2 trillion liquid, right? I want people to have realistic expectations of, we both have got this, and also we need to have a plan and a budget and a finance team, all of which are things that we have because we're civilized. All right, let me take some questions here because I need to get ready to do the meta show soon. Here's a question in scroll back here, which is, since Test is planning to move into Delve, can we hope to see some assassinations on their move out freighters, et cetera, et cetera? That is a good question, Evangeline. And one of the interesting things about this, and, you know, I'm not really sure what they're going to do about this, is that Test in many ways has been sort of like a cargo cult version of Goonswarm, where they essentially ape the things that we are have done in the past, but don't actually do them right. So I think that the announcement that they are going to move into Delve and live in Delve, the day after T5ZI went up, they were jump cloning. Actually, I think just an hour or two after T5ZI went up, they were jump cloning back to Esoteria. So for all of their, hey, we're totally moving into Delve, I think that was more, in their case, an excuse for why they were losing stuff in Esoteria. And we haven't really seen like a super commit. I mean, just think about it. After all the shit that's gone on this week, if you're a Test line member and maybe you're not so sure about listening to your idiot leader's spin on things, would you want to move all your assets into T5ZI? Yeah. So like, maybe they intended that. Maybe they were going to be more bold about it, but they have not burned their ships behind them. Like, they still have stuff in Esoteria. They just have the excuse of, guys, we're going to live in Delve after this war because goons are going to break at any moment. Goons are going to run out of money, guys. We got this. It's just a bunch of dumb shit. Any hints on the new doctrine? No, I'm not going to give you hints on the new doctrine because it's not ready and it's not my place. Can I please provide a source for Brave being broke? I mean, it came across our spy network. I don't know if it got leaked in public. I mean, it was on the Brave Slack, right? Like, I think it was open to
sources and methods. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so the main thing is this. It might not be in public yet, and so I'm telling you guys about it. And I don't want you running around yelling about it, actually. Like, I sort of assumed it was going to be in public, but I also sort of assumed that the pubbies would have leaked the war update, and they're not really talking about it because I talk so much shit about them. But the reason why I'm talking about it is not, hey guys, Brave is out of money, because we know the puppies are out of money because we disbanded Requiem Eternal. We know their finances, especially for the legacy alliances, are in dire fucking shape. What I want to get in front of is letting you guys know that our line, our message, our spin, whatever you want to call it, our talking points are in the direction of being gracious about it. Not being, ha ha ha, you fucking poors, you're dumb. Be like, yeah, it sucks that CCP is nerfing everybody's shit when we could be prosecuting this war against each other, because we want to leave a golden bridge of getting the fuck out, peace with honor, for all of our enemies, except for Test, who we want to murder zone. So that's why I'm bringing it up, and why we're doing that. I'm actually wearing a black shirt today because I felt like wearing black. I'm not so sure about the smug levels. I'm sure the spirit of the smug will reach me on the meta show, but I'm definitely being kind and friendly here because we're in a good position. Did I find any TTT value in Requiem Eternal assets before you deleted them? No. And the TTT value that the legacy guys are always told about is that they have reimbursements for Titans and things if they get into a supercap fight or something like that. There was no evidence of any actual support from the TTT. Are we going to get more than 2-minute notices for pings, or as it takes longer than 2 minutes to log in? No, we're going to give pings when we give them, right? Like, we are, like, this is a defensive war. We're not going to let, like, if it takes more than two minutes to log on, like, that sucks, and it is a thing. But we are going to send pings for fleets when we need to send pings for fleets. And sometimes that does not involve giving advance notice. What advance notice we can give you, we do try to put in the op ticker on the goonfleet.com forums. So when we can and where we can. I will tell you guys, Sunday night, again, we have an opportunity for a couple of hacking ops. Both the Null and the Hicks iHub is going to be out at around 2:30 Eve. They're about half an hour away from each other on Sunday night. So do look for ops around that time, probably around 1:30 Eve time, Monday morning / Sunday night, USDZ. And yeah. Are we going to make more dread bombs in T5ZI? I hope that's bingo bait, because that is very much a future plans question. Like, why the hell would I be talking about a dread bomb? So if you're looking for a future plans bingo square, congratulations, Julie Charante. You have a future plans. Yep, there you go. I figured. We have absolutely no dread bombs. Goons are incapable of doing dread bombs. There are no dread bombs anywhere that anybody has to worry about. And apparently any dread bombs we do are because of Penis Smash, which is apparently supposed to be a bad thing. Like, Elise Randolph seems to think that us having elitist ops doing cool things is somehow going to, like, I don't give a shit.
Also, if I may, Mittens,
go ahead.
One really hilarious comment. The dude had been downvoted to the bottom of the thread, and he was like -50, and you couldn't see his comment until you expanded it. But after the Kobe dunk the other night, there was some guy trying to, like, concern troll in the thread about how this is really a strategic loss for Goons, because now they have to build to replace all of those dreads they lost. Meanwhile, I'm looking at the report of how many dreads we have in 1DQ1, and I'm like, sure, buddy. You go with that narrative.
I was grateful for that op personally, because I know dread producers who are out of ISK and needed to make sales. So I just want to thank you, Jay.
Right, but like, we have multiple triple digits of dread, like, or quadruple digits of dreads, of like thousands and thousands of dreads. Like, yeah, we lost 30 dreads. You know, jack off and hand animation goes here.
All right, so a couple of things I want to address. Congratulations on your successful bingo, by the way. Several successful bingos, okay. Let me help people out here, because I know it is a bingo square, and it's also... Bingo is very helpful for a couple of reasons. One, it's a fun game to play in Firesides, but another thing is that sometimes when I will look at a bingo card, I will see something that I think I should be mentioning on a Fireside that reminds me. And so one of the ones, it'll be a free square for people, is if you have bounty-related things, for the Sino bounty or just the general ganking stuff, if we can link the Headhunter thread, that is still active. We are still paying out bounties, and one of the things that's really fun about these ops in T5ZI is just using Thrashers ad nauseum to gank the shit out of their Sinos. Anyone who is able to, ganking the people that untether like idiots in T5ZI is hilarious fun. We want to do more of it, and you can get paid for ganking their Sinos, so there you go. What is my expectation of enemy moves for the period ahead of us till the end of the year? It's an interesting question, and this is going to be the last question I take before I get ready for the meta show. Obviously, these things are a week-by-week scenario, especially when the war hits the real fulcrum point. And we are at the most important phase of the war, right? Like, the enemy is staged right next door to us. This is now put up or shut up time. And we have been putting up quite successfully. We have been resetting the doom clock. The doom clock is improving. We know that strategy works. We have been successfully doing the thing we need to do. It is still entirely possible, and I want people to be prepared for a full-blown assault on 1DQ1. Just because we are dunking these nerds in T5ZI doesn't mean that they're not going to fucking gear up all their shit together and try to burn our capital down. At some point, we could see the enemy get frustrated and abandon the legacy policy and start actually sieging our keepstars. And that is really important, because, like, if they actually start sieging our keepstars, this becomes the true moment of truth, because then we find out whether we can defend our keepstars successfully using everything that we have available to us in Delph, right? I believe that we can, and that if we lose keepstars in the process of defending them, it will be at a tremendous cost to an enemy that we know is already running low on ISK. So I think that those Even if we lose some in the process of defending them, I am willing to, and that's the war I have always wanted to fight. I have always wanted to fight this war defensively on our keep stars. So there's a possibility that the enemy decides, fuck it, we're gonna try, which I think would be great. Of course, if it turns out to be not great, then we lose all of our shit. But I think that those are battles that we can win, that they favor us, and that our guys are going to be really excited about. So I want to do that. It's also possible that the enemy gradually loses momentum, as they have been doing, and we start seeing some of them say that, well, they'd like to keep fighting us, but that CCP has nerfed them to shit, and so they're running out of money. Or you might see like PanFam acknowledging that they hit their war goals, which is to do lots of damage to us, and have us acknowledge that they have done lots of damage to us, which they have, and whatever. So it's really kind of hard to predict, just because this is... Every day counts, every op counts, every ship counts, right? Just before the fireside, you guys snapped the fucking doom clock in W6V, right? Like, so things are happening, and it's hard to make long-term predictions because we're at a point here where every single hour of every single day in this critical period counts. So keep on turning up, keep the faith, keep fighting, keep killing, fuck all puppies. We've got this. This is our war to lose now. We are in an excellent position. Even though things look very dark, we just have to keep fighting every single day, one hour longer than the bad guys, and then we get to murder test as much as we want. So thank you for coming. I'm going to go get ready for the meta show right now. And yeah, let's just keep on keeping on.